Yeah, so we're back around the rectangle table again.
Yeah, we are.
You sound pumped today, Patrick.
Well, we'll discuss how not pumped I am this week later, but yeah. I'm a little bit under the weather, Mick. But it's good to be back for week three, and I'm just waiting on your weekly struggling to find guests comment.
Every Thursday night.
Every Thursday. Do you want to come on tomorrow?
Yeah.
So it's, here we are.
Well, basically it's turned into the Mick and Pat show.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike and Pat. So how's your week been, mate?
Decent.
Decent?
Not too bad. All right.
Yeah.
Up and downs.
What's going on in the world of getting with regards to Paulie McGrath?
Well, past 6 weeks have been pretty insane, to be honest.
Have you had your best quarter ever?
Yeah.
Woo!
We're not getting into it. But yes,
no, but you've done very well this quarter, haven't you?
It has. It's been good. But it's been a hectic 6, 7, 8 weeks.
Yeah.
We some good wins. There's two more Irish joining Auckland, which is nice.
Yeah.
So a couple of Irish people have accepted jobs in Auckland.
Yeah.
Going through the whole visa process now, so that's great.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A few more people to go on the beer with.
That's it.
Once every 3 months.
100%.
But yeah, a lot of things came to a close, so I'm just need to pick myself back up. It's been a low week.
Yeah, but that's what we're alluding to there earlier, is that when it's been weird because it's nearly Easter.
I know. Like, that's insane.
I don't know. Like, for me, it's kind of, I don't feel like I've achieved anything this year with regards to.
That's a grim statement.
I know, but it's been a disaster. So I was thinking about this earlier, right? I've moved house twice.
Yeah.
So bought a house, moved out of it.
Same.
Moved into a new house, redeveloped the website, hired people.
Trying to make America great again.
Trying to. what else has been going on? Obviously you've sort of moved at markets and stuff as well. The office got flooded.
Yeah.
We've had cyclones to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
We've had like constant internet issues for like 2 months.
Yeah.
We've moved all of our phone contracts from, who are we dealing with, Optus, through to Aircall. So then there's been issues with the connectivity with that as well. So it's been like 12 weeks has been, was what you would say, gross.
Gross.
It has been gross.
Gruesome.
I know. So
it has been.
I feel like I've only got back on the sort of clarity bandwagon within the last 2 weeks, but you've been nailing it.
I've been on it, I must say. I've been getting myself prepared and ready, and it's went very smoothly.
Why do you feel like you were on it?
Why was I on it?
Because you shaved your head.
No.
No. It starts with the head shave.
No.
I was emotional
for 2 weeks after the head shave.
You know when you get your head shave, right? You have nothing else to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you have to wash your body and go out for the day.
No, but you have to think about what used to be there.
No, you don't.
And it's not there anymore.
So you're less. You know the tech bros picked like a grey top.
Yeah.
And like they wore the same kicks for about 2 years. It's same thing with recruitment. Get the head shaved. You start the bill more. That's why I shaved it 2 weeks ago.
You need to cut yours more then.
100%. Every 2 days. I feel like getting a barber in, just every 2 days, pop in. What do you call her? Bella? Get her run.
Bella, barber. Yeah.
So, but what do you think? So, start of the year, what made you sort of like be clinical about things?
Well, after a big Christmas, 3 or 4 weeks of
partying.
Gross negligence. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had enough, basically. I was like, right, getting my shit together. Bit of routine, bit of structure, back to the gym, back to doing anything. Just anything.
What do you mean anything?
Just anything but sitting down. So I just made a plan. Took a day to myself.
Yeah.
Done out my whole.
So is this what it said on this day? Because I remember I got a message. It was like in the middle of Christmas holidays. Like, I'm journaling. What about you?
That is never the message I said.
It was like, I've got so many plans this year.
So I took a day, wee coffee and all to myself.
A wee one.
Yeah. Downs and Hilliers.
Lovely.
What a spot.
Mm.
Done out a whole. Went pure Tom Smith on it. The whole goals, gratitude thing.
Entrepreneur.
Yeah. Went full but I was in the shorts and a hat.
Right, look at
hiding.
Yeah. And fake tan, white teeth.
But no, just done a bit of what I want to do this year, what I want to achieve this year. Mm. And it actually did make it a bit easier to go and like, right, okay, let's pull into action then. So down on paper, felt a bit more real or something.
When's the last time you looked at it?
Probably 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
To be honest. Because nothing's changed.
Have you ticked much of it off?
Well, it wasn't like 4 week goals. It was like 2023.
Yeah, so we've got nine months left.
Yeah, there's a quarter tick on some of them. You know what I mean? Yeah. A quarter way through the year.
You know what I used to do when I was starting recruitment? I used to do double ticks.
Did you?
So I used to do, if I tried to call someone, I would tick them.
On the left-hand side of the page?
Nah, not that's left.
That's where mine goes.
Left?
Try to move on.
That's like a Chinese thing, isn't it?
I start left, and then once I complete it, big tick on the right.
That's decent. I like that. No, I do a double tick, because if I do an X, it makes me feel like I've failed.
Yeah,
but if I tick it,
pending.
It's positive reinforcement. Double tick, and I'm like, I'm going.
Nailed it.
I've nailed it, yeah. So.
Nice.
So you had a nightmare at the, obviously Christmas, had a great time, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Came back, wrote a to-do list for the year. You felt better.
Mm-hmm.
What else were you doing? You were off a drink as well, though, weren't you?
So off a drink for, what was it, 11 weeks or something.
But do you reckon, though, so you said over the last like week or 2 weeks, does this coincide from when you started drinking again?
Don't know, maybe.
Possibly?
Possibly has. This week has been definitely a serious case of they can't be arts.
They can't be Fs.
Can't be Fs, yeah.
I get them regularly. So last year I had a really good year financially, right? But there was so many times where I would get the can't be Fs.
Yeah.
So like I would go probably normal work day last year for me when there wasn't anybody else around, even when you weren't here.
Yeah.
It was probably starting, like getting up in the morning, starting about 7, checking emails, right? So as soon as you're on your phone, you're working. Like,
yeah.
Because in recruitment, you're never away from it, really.
Yeah.
So it was 7, and then I'd maybe go on a run, come back, go into the office about 9, because in New Zealand, we're 3 hours ahead of Brisbane.
Yeah.
So 9 would be 6 over there. Anyway, from there right through to about 7 o'clock at night, you're just calling people.
Yeah.
Calling people, sending CVs, you know. So you're doing 10, but 7 to 7 really. So it's 12-hour days.
Yeah.
And then you're doing that for like 8, 9, 10 weeks, and then you're completely burnt out.
Wrecked.
Yeah, you're exhausted. Yeah. Like,
maybe I'm just at that point now where it's been really good January, February, March.
Mm.
April's looking pretty strong as well.
Yeah.
But now I'm just like, right, need something to kick me back in.
Yeah.
Because I can't be arsed.
What do you reckon? What do you reckon it is?
Oh, I don't know, because I have to go on the drink this weekend too. So
do you have to though?
Yes.
Do you have to?
It's a good mate's leaving day.
So you have to get on the drink?
I have to go. And I'm only going one. He wants three nights? Yeah.
What is he, like Elvis or something?
I don't know.
Is leaving day?
One night.
One night with Ryan.
Promise him Saturday and that's it. Done. Right. So I don't know how I'm going to get back into it.
You know what you don't need to do, what I done last night, because I was feeling a bit weird yesterday, done a 10K.
Oh, I can't. I would love to go for a run.
Get on the bike then. Remember that bike you bought?
Yeah.
That you have barely ever cycled?
Yeah, it's flat now. I used it once.
Isn't it? So I was actually thinking about this. We'll talk about them later. But remind me to talk about this, why I hate cyclists.
Yeah, I'm all for that.
Right, because
I'm all in on that.
They started to really grind my gears.
I hate them.
Right. Anyway, so you've had a good couple of months, but you're going through the burnout. I think it's actually important to talk about burnout though, because I mean, I've experienced like ball breaking burnout loads of times. Like,
yeah.
I remember during COVID when no one was hiring anyone.
Mm.
And the business at the time that we were setting up, it was only 6 months old and we had no clients. And you were ringing people just for nothing.
Just to speak to someone.
Just for nothing. Like, yeah. They were like, why are you ringing me, mate? Of course we're not hiring. We're letting hundreds of people go.
Mm.
I'm like, don't know. Like, I really don't know
just
why I'm ringing you.
Just check.
Just touching base, you know. Like, you're making excuses to ring people.
I know.
And then I remember I had this little room, you know, the way we have in the office now, we have that little padded friggin'...
Yeah, quiet room.
Quiet room, yeah. This room, like, you literally, you could only stand up in it. You couldn't turn around or anything. And I used to go in there, right, from like 11 to 1 every day and just start ringing people every day. And they're like, mate, like, stop ringing me.
Yeah.
But you had to do it. But I remember after that, getting like completely shattered from burnout. Like,
it would take it out of you. Like,
yeah.
Especially when people are saying no constantly.
It's the rejection as well.
Yeah.
You know, like it's constant. Mm-hmm. But I think it's fatigue. It's like, it's work fatigue, burnout. But if you don't like do something, then it turns into a bit of like, you get into a bit of a rut.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, luckily Easter's coming up. Mm. One more week Easter, then I'm away for a week's holiday, so I'm treating myself.
Where are you going?
Flying down to gorgeous Dunedin.
Lovely. And then what are you doing?
Then I'm going on a bit of a road trip.
Roadie?
9 days roadie, eh?
Roadie, nice.
In a converted ambulance.
Nice. Yeah. Decent.
Should be fun.
Who's like driving? Hopefully not you.
Me, yeah. Me and my good mate. So yeah, that'll be a nice break.
Yeah.
But as you say, I'll probably not be away from the phone too much. Like,
nah, you should, mate. Honestly, switch it off. What I did, so the good thing about our call, we're not sponsored by our call, but maybe we should be, but you can just divert all calls to me.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, so you just go through to me, and then I'll be taking all your weird calls from random ladies in the night, I reckon.
I'm not giving them my air call anyway.
Yeah, ring and ask for Pat. Right, so this week, right, my losses, my wins and losses, I think as a company, we're continuing to evolve. This is one of the things I actually want to talk about this week, is that modern executive search, right?
Yeah.
So the old sort of executive search, what you look at it, the fellows who come in an oversized suit, right?
Yeah.
Wearing a big red tie, and they come out with a briefcase or one of those big banger books.
Yeah.
One of those big lever banger books.
Like an accordion.
Accordion book. You pull it out, and they're like, right, we're going in, doing a whole broad search, all this crap, right? But modern exec search, in my opinion, is completely different.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing it continuously for blue chip clients.
Mm-hmm.
There was I was a little bit hurt recently because one of my clients over the last couple of years decided not to use me for a leadership role.
That was a tough day in the office.
few bins got kicked, right? but from there, I was interested. I was like, well, okay, so who's the other provider that you're using? And they're like, oh, they're going through this shortlisting process.
Because it was another executive firm, wasn't it, as well?
It was an executive search firm, right? So they said, oh, we'll provide a full range of candidates. We'll identify people in your own business who can do this, et cetera, et cetera.
You're sitting there going, hello.
Yeah, exactly.
We do.
Knock, knock. but I can sort of understand as well, though, because when I started the business like a year ago, I would come in and basically work on anything that needed worked because we needed money, you know? So it's kind of developed. But this business, it took them 4 weeks to provide 2 resumes.
Yeah.
Maybe 3. And then 4 recommendations. 2 came from the company and 2 were internally within the company. Okay. Didn't find anyone.
Yeah.
No one was placed. I got the role on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I had 3 candidates to them by Monday morning.
Yeah.
Right. So these are three highly qualified candidates.
Mm.
2 of them have progressed to interview. 2 of them are going to second interview.
Yeah.
So in a turnaround of less than 48 hours, I had provided them 3 resumes, took the other business 4 weeks to provide 3 resumes. So, you know, I look at it and just say, I mean, what we're doing and the speed of what we can do,
yeah,
I believe is phenomenal.
Yeah. And it's a lot. I think you're mentioning the difference between the modern and sort of traditional exec firm, where it's, you know, going through absolutely everything. We are still highly involved in the detail.
It's everything that we do is detail. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think the difference is how agile we can be.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, for example, Thursday night, I know you've done some stuff that the weekend as well.
Yeah.
And that's what we're, you know, I suppose a bit different from traditional executive firms, where it's very, it's just old school.
Yeah.
It's old school. We'll go through absolutely every single thing, but there's very little product at the end. Whereas we half know, because you work with them for so long, know exactly what they want anyway. It's just about sort of fine tuning.
Yeah. So I would admit where we lack experience is like on, well, say, you know, full level C-suite executives, right?
Mm.
But I mean, I get it. There's a level of exposure to that we'll get over time.
Mm.
But if you're an executive search firm and you're going, right, we're doing HR, we're doing pharmaceutical life sciences, we're doing A&F, accountancy and finance, you know, we're doing technology. Realistically, they don't have the network within the built environment that we do that can find those candidates that quickly. So you look at it and go, our goal is to build an executive search business within the parameters of the built environment, whether that's construction and building, whether that's infrastructure, whether that's renewables and hydrogen, whether that's mining and resources, but finding those highly technical skilled leaders within that area is what we're about. But ultimately, you know, I'm 31 now, you're in your late 20s. We've been doing this each for like 10, 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the market's evolved. You know, the guys who are, I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but if you're an exec search individual in your late 40s, probably aren't as familiar as the new ways of attracting candidates with podcasting, with content generation, you know, with the global search business that we've developed as well.
Yeah. So we've softwares and things like that too have moved on significantly in the last 5 years.
Yeah, like the amount of software that we use is insane, from like Velocity, a whole range of different specialist software that we can use that just helps us build lists quicker, find candidates quicker as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've had it was probably one of the biggest clients in Auckland.
Mm-hmm.
We've, in the last, three months, filled some very, very senior level roles within that business.
Yeah.
And these candidates are coming from Dublin. They're coming from London. We'd also provided shortlists from candidates in like
West Coast
of the US, candidates Doha. from Doha, Melbourne. Literally globally, we go out, we recognize the talent, we'll bring them to fruition. But also we don't sit there and go, yeah, that's fine, that's what you want, we'll go find it.
Yeah.
You know, we'll push back and challenge.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what the biggest difference is with your maybe general executive search firm that say the model we have is executive search for everything.
Mm.
It's you know, for me that just doesn't work, you know.
Yeah.
The difference with us is because we're in those sort of tight parameters of built environment, infrastructure, etc., we can challenge and push back and say, well, based on perhaps a similar search that we've done, I think you actually need to look at this type of candidate.
Mm.
And that's what works really well. And that's where the value is added most.
Yeah, 100%. So, but we get super, super, like super granular about the detail. So we'll go through everything and say, right, we've engaged with 71 candidates, 12 have shown interest. Once they've got down to the second screening, you know, to be honest, we don't feel like they're relevant. There's four here that are potential. Out of the four, there's only really one or two that we believe is going to match up with salary, culture, the technicalities of the role, you know, who's actually going to look at this from a long-term perspective, not just go in for 12 months and then move out. So there's a whole range of different things that we'll look at from a quantitative and qualitative perspective. But for me, it's like exec search isn't about going into a boardroom and you know, really that's not what it is anymore. There's a bit in between where, you know, people in their early 30s, early 40s and late 40s will resonate with, you know, because let's face it, like the everything's changed within the last 5 to 10 years from content generation, all of this stuff that we're doing.
Yeah.
Like there's now a word for it, influencers. Like, they're literally...
Is that where we are?
No, we're not influencers. I'll never be an influencer, but you know what I mean? So like from an the ability to influence markets, that's what an executive search person is.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ability to search, find, attract and influence those individuals is exactly what a modern exec search business is.
Yeah.
So LinkedIn news, right? Going to talk about, so some interesting stuff on LinkedIn this week, right? So we'll bring up a few topics and we'll shoot the breeze on them,
yeah,
right?
That's
so
cool.
What do you think about employers paying student loans?
As in paying when they have to repay their debt, or paying them like, what does that actually mean?
So what it basically is saying that for talk's sake, a construction manager, right? You've done a construction management degree, and you went to a university in Brisbane or Sydney or Washington or wherever.
Yeah.
You graduate, you get a job, you offer that person a job.
Yeah.
And part of the package is that you're repaying their student loan. So, you know, their student loan is, I don't know, it's like you take out 50 grand or 30 grand or 100 grand and you're repaying it every month.
Yeah.
So they're essentially saying repay that.
I think there's a lot to be said for that.
Why?
First of all, it's a bit more buy-in from the company.
Mm-hmm.
And what that might enable is perhaps a bit of those sort of early tenures. Being like, instead of being there for 1 year grad, move on, or they could be there for the first sort of 5 years. And once you're in a business from your first job to 5 years, you can see a clear path, you can see a clear progression. And if that is further rewarded by subsidizing student loans, I think you might get a bit more buy-in from employees.
Do you think if from a candidate, from employee attraction perspective, you can see the benefits of it?
From a retentive perspective?
As an employer? I think,
No?
No way.
Why not? What?
Because there could be shit anyway.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know what I mean? So you're paying their wages, paying their frigging pension,
But what that means from an employer is that, okay, we're giving you the opportunity, we're also doing this, you know, you have to be up to scratch, and if you're not, then...
So you think that there should be some level of targets around it then?
Well, there's levels of targets around job regardless. You know, you're not coming in to sit there and do nothing, you know? So the targets are always going to be there.
Mm.
I think it's a bit more of a way for an employer as well to see...
One thing, right? You always tell me you love the fear, right? So if you come in, right, and you are in a sales-driven environment, right, and you basically have to get motivated, not motivated, you should be intrinsically motivated, right? But you, if your employer is paying for your massive debt that you've accumulated, right, to obtain a degree, then... Would you lose an element of the fear? Because
only if every other employer was doing it too.
Yeah, but that's never going to happen.
Exactly. Yeah. So if there is one or two and the other ones aren't, I think you perhaps get a bit more buy-in from an employee, because this is obviously huge.
Yeah. You're
paying off a student loan. But it also allows an employer to say, okay, well, we're going an extra mile. If you aren't, you know, then you're out the door. So... I think it could work well.
I can see where it could work well as a leverage. Mm. You know, if a candidate has two offers, you know, and one says we'll pay your student loan, I mean,
it's huge.
That's definitely. I mean, it would be great to be able to say that. That certainly gets things moving. You know, from a candidate perspective.
How long does it take to pay a student loan off?
I mean, it could be like 10 years. So, but Barack Obama became president, he was still paying his loan off.
Brilliant.
Like what Barack Obama.
What a story.
What a madness.
Imagine him checking the paycheck and it's, you know.
President of the United
President's
States.
Wage minus student loan.
Minus student, yeah.
That's
and
brilliant.
Yeah, 100%. Madness.
But back home, like, you never, like back in the UK, for example, Northern Ireland, people just never pay their student loan off.
What do you mean?
No one cares. Like,
because it automatically comes out of
but you never pay the full thing off, because it only goes for 25 years and then it stops.
Yeah,
so they're never getting it all back.
So I remember when I started in Queens, right? And I took out a student loan, right? But you know the way you can get, I think it's a grant or something
get? Yeah, yeah.
So when you're in first year, everyone takes a grant.
Yes,
I got that too. Because you're looking for drinking money,
yeah.
Right? And I think I took out 3 grand.
Same.
Right? as much as you possibly could. So you take out your grant, and I was like, right, I'm like my wee cousin, I was doing now. Mm. You're heading all over Europe and all, and you're going just getting blocked everywhere, right? Yeah. Zero studying going on, right?
No, not a top.
Mate, but see, when I moved to New Zealand, I was getting all sorts of messages from, because I never paid it back.
Yeah.
Because I just left.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to notify them if you've left.
I know, but who does?
But you know what I mean? So ultimately, yes, it would be a great thing if you were to do it. But if you look at the US, right, people are completely like shattered by debt.
Yeah, they're hamstrung.
Yeah.
Every avenue they turn, they're hamstrung.
I was listening to something the other day about someone went in to get like an IP drip. An IV drip. And it cost them $5,000, right? And their insurance covered it up to like $3,000. And so they had to pay an extra $2,000 just to get an IV drip in the US.
That's insane.
And so, like, but if you're looking at that, the expense of like healthcare plus your student loans plus, you know, the cost of living obviously going up, I do see merit in that. You know, certainly employers looking at it and going, you know, you have to remain here for 5 years or something like that, and we will pay off your student debt. Yeah. So, something like that, because it has to go both ways.
Well, it's like, what's huge in America is scholarships, right? Mm. So you're incentivized to work your backside off to get a scholarship because your thing's paid for.
Mm.
Is it not similar to perhaps an employer?
So basically everyone's getting a scholarship. It's essentially what it would be.
Well, what it would probably lead to is a bit of a selection process in terms of top 10 students this year and, I don't know, engineer.
That's really mean.
What do you mean? It's construction.
That's terrible. You know, that's what the woke culture say. You know what I mean?
That's all the mumsies would say.
100%. Right. So a couple of other topics. Okay. So daylight savings causing chaos for staff.
It causes chaos for us.
It is a nightmare.
It is a mer.
So
you're like, I'm looking at, for example, Rian's interview for a guy in Melbourne this week.
Yeah.
The invite gets sent through. So my calendar is in Brisbane time, right?
Yeah.
Which I need to change it, right?
But
I'm in Auckland.
Uh-huh.
Automatic time nightmare. 3 hours. He's telling me he's in Melbourne, which is an hour ahead of Brisbane. So I'm just sitting there like, you ever see the scene from Rain Man where he's all the algebraic signs everywhere? I'm like, what is happening here?
100%. But put it this way. I have a guy interviewing for a role in Washington, Pacific Northwest in America. He's based in Brisbane, right? But the hiring manager is based on the West Coast, but the talent manager is based in the East Coast. So there's literally my time zone, the Brisbane time zone, then the Pacific time zone, and then the Eastern time zone, four time zones. And then we've also got a whole team that are based on different time zones as well.
I know.
So it's such a nightmare.
It is insane.
So, but it also doesn't, like, from Brisbane to Sydney, right? So Brisbane, Sydney, and Melbourne all could be on the same time zone.
At a certain point in the year,
they are.
There's maybe like a week or something where they're all the
same.
It's
6 months.
They're all the same.
Yeah.
Right.
So next week.
Can't wait for that 6 months.
But next week it changes because Sydney and Melbourne, their clocks will go back.
Yeah.
Right. So they'll be on the same time as Brisbane.
Right.
Right. So for 6 months of the year.
Write this down.
For 6 months of the year, it's the same.
Right. Okay.
Before the other 6 months of the year, Brisbane's in our head.
Mm.
So, but you do wonder the benefits of if they were all in the same time zone. So if you look at it, so there's just on a talk sake, there's 2 hours in the day where they're not working on the same time zone. So So everyone will work probably like 8 to 5, right? So there's 2 hours a day that Brisbane's missing. Mm-hmm. Times that by 5 for 20 hours.
Yeah.
So 80 hours a month. There's less productivity and communication between Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, that's going to be nearly 1,000 hours a year. And if people just say average consumer or person that we're dealing with, maybe on like $100 an hour, I mean, that's what, like, I don't know, I'm not smart enough to do the math, but well, probably millions anyway, know.
And
so
let's not get started on Adelaide, which is for some reason a half an hour.
That's a half an hour. And then Darwin's the same.
I know.
So it is fairly tricky, you know. I would love to see it, but see, when you live in Queensland, though, you understand why they don't. I always get confused. They do use daylight savings.
They don't in Brisbane.
They don't, so there's no daylight savings in Brisbane, right? Yeah. But I understand why, because it's so bloody hot.
I know, but what I really missed when I lived in Brisbane was
summertime,
dark at 7:30. But it used to really depress me. I used to really get down.
7:30 is like great. Though, so like usually it's like 5. So for most of the year it's like 5 o'clock.
It's like 6:30. But it's like 6:30 and there's 6 in the winter and 7:30 in the summer, isn't it? Something like
it's
that.
It's not 7:30. So it's like between 5 and 7 it gets dark all year round. Every single terrible time of the day. So when I walked actually in Brisbane, I would start at 7 in the morning and finish around 4:30 just to try and get some daylight.
Yeah, after work. I know. Yeah, because really it is. I just did not like it.
But see, when you're living there and you're like, it's 40 degrees, you do see the merit in it getting darker earlier because then it starts to get cooler, you know? So it means it's weird. It's all like, oh, everyone's talking about it.
Mm.
I can see Brisbane moving because or even Southeast Queensland having its own daylight savings.
Because it was for the farmers, right?
Mm.
Is not the reason.
Well, they say the cows won't know when they're down their home.
It messes them up in the morning and they come out late.
Sure, there's a lot of cows in New South Wales too. No, Victoria's got loads of them.
What about them?
Yeah.
But I think that topic is specifically talking about people are going to lose an hour's pay when the clocks go back. Because you work, I think theoretically, you work an extra hour for shift workers as well.
So what do you mean?
So when I think for shift workers, when the clocks go back, they don't get paid for that hour, I think.
Yeah, because they're not working?
No, but they work an extra hour or something, will they not?
That doesn't make any sense.
It does.
Because the 8 o'clock will still be 8 o'clock.
Open it up. Right. I think there's something about that shift workers don't like. Well, maybe it's the other one where it goes forward an hour.
No, I know, but for me, from like a lifestyle perspective and a health perspective, Northern European, like need to
it.
Have a stretch in the evening 100%. At some point in the year. It gives you like I see everyone back home at the moment putting like Instagram posts up going, I seen some girl this morning and she was like, it was so nice to come home and be able to brush the house out with the doors open, you know, at like 5 or 6 o'clock or something. It's like that.
Simple things.
You know, just the small things, you know, like.
It does help.
Because if you think about it, like getting home, if you're a worker in, say, Brisbane, Perth is the same, by the way. So you got a worker in Brisbane and you get home at 5:30, 6 o'clock and it's dark and you haven't got time to like go to the park with your kids or anything like that. Do you know what I mean? Like it must be a bit.
And then you're going to work dark as well. So, and especially if you're in an office when you're doing that, you're not getting like direct sunlight. I know.
Huberman would have an absolute. He'd lose his mind.
Going mad here.
So, is there any other ones? The topics: the office or the dog. You choose. We could talk about that one. Open letters for pause on AI. Daylight savings, that's the same as one we talked about. Surge in Australian Tesla sales. Which one do you reckon?
So the Tesla one was probably a bit, I don't know, interesting, isn't it? I used to hate them.
Right.
I used to hate looking at them, thought they were real.
But do you hate them because they're so, because of the whole Elon Musk thing, of the trendy thing?
No, I actually quite like Musk.
Right.
Well, he's been a bit controversial of late, but before that, he was a decent lad.
Decent. But he's a complete genius, though. He set up like the very first sort of version of Google Maps. So it was like the first kind of sat nav type thing, and then he started
PayPal,
and then he set up one of the biggest solar distribution companies in the world, and then SpaceX. So he sent people to Mars. And then Tesla as well.
He's like, a weirdo.
Like, I'd be happy with like 1% of that. You know what I mean? Like, he's a complete freak.
Don't know. First of all, when the I don't know what model is, the one that's the most common, it seems.
Model X?
Don't know, whatever it is. I was like, that is rotten.
Right.
Thought it was disgusting looking. Got in a taxi one day and there was a screen, this like a proper monitor in the front. I was like, that is mental. But seen more and more than about, and I'm like, nice.
I was talking to Amanda, my wife, about this. I was like, maybe if we change our car, we need to go electric. And she's like, you'd be a disaster if electric, right? So my car is just like an old Toyota Highlander, right? And it's $160 a week in petrol, right? So that's like 80 quid back home. And I'm literally driving to the office and back every day.
Yeah.
So there's no like long trips in that. No. Right? So, I mean, if you're doing long trips, say 30, 40, 50 minutes driving every day, I mean, you're probably doubling that, no. You know?
Yours
so
is a big guzzler though, like.
It does
big
guzzle.
Big V6.
Big V6, I know, but. So if you look at that and go, right, let's go electric because you're going to save money. But you do pay the charge, yeah. Don't you?
Well, if you're to charge it at the house, it's obviously you're paying for electric. But I think Tesla still have free charging points. Like, but then you have to go there, obviously.
But one of the points Amanda brought up was you'd be a nightmare because what happens if you had to, say, take a trip to the airport or go an hour away from home or something like that, right? And you forgot to charge it.
I know.
Then you're sitting there for half an hour.
Snickered.
You know, like it's...
And yeah, it doesn't just charge instantly. It's like 40 minutes to full charge.
Yeah.
And then you've got, what, 300 mile range?
Something like that, isn't it? So have you seen that long way up? So yes. Charlie Bowman and...
Ewan McGregor.
They go from like the bottom of South America. And I think they're going the Panama Trail. So they'll go the whole way up to the West Coast of America.
Yeah.
And they're driving on electric bikes.
Right.
So, but the problem is, like, all those South American countries don't actually have charging stations.
Yeah.
And so they had gone, right, they actually went and actually dotted them out. So they planned this for, like, 2 years. And they went, right, we'll get 100 or 200 miles here, so we'll put a charging station here. But they were actually, there wasn't enough battery charge in them.
Yeah.
So range. There wasn't enough range in them. So they weren't even getting to the charging points. So then they were going into these like wee old people's gaffs out in like Peru.
Any spare extension wires?
And no word of a lie. They were like getting the bikes into their gaff. Jeez. And like on the old crap charge. You know when you've got like a crap USB?
4 hours.
Yeah, it's like your phone will be ready in 4 hours. Like, what's that about? You know, so one of the thing is though is like there's obviously an environmental positive in it. But is it positive? Because then you can look at it and go, well, how are they making these batteries? Like, what's being mined to actually achieve what they're trying to achieve?
It's all lithium, isn't it?
So it's all like lithium, yeah. But you can only get lithium from like two parts in the world. And one of the biggest parts, Congo.
Africa, yeah.
Right? So have you heard of what's happening in the Congo? Like, well, in them lithium?
Wasn't there a large mining company in Australia got a slap in the wrist?
Yeah, beginning with G.
Yeah, lemons.
Yeah.
For something. Not
so
like...
there's only three in Africa. There was like that particular business plus two others. And I think there were, I don't think they were international mining companies, but they were like some forms of like the African government that had their own mining divisions, right? But what they were doing is they're going into these areas in the Congo and they essentially had slaves. Like, no word of a lie, literally had slaves mining and not mining with machinery, but with like
digging,
literally digging with their hands and with shovels. And so what would happen is they would go and get like maybe like the equivalent of say $3 a week, right, in the Congo. And that would be one person. So they were like, right, we have to bring our whole family, right? And so they'd be getting, their mum would be out digging as well with the baby strapped around her chest, and they'd be digging for like this specific type of metal that they would use for battery consumption. It's all in our phones as well.
Yeah.
And so they're literally modern slavery, right? So you go, well, what's worse, going and supporting businesses that are using sort of the battery consumption that's creating these industries where people are literally being treated as slaves? Yeah. Or going and getting a bit of petrol, like from the tank. I'd rather maybe go for that Qatari money.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, at least they're doing it right.
Well, I mean, they've obviously got human rights issues as well.
Of course.
But we've seen with the World Cup, with the exposure to the Middle East, everyone's got their eyes in the Middle East now. Yeah, from
Saudi Arabia, LIV Golf, all of that, all the big F1 events now there.
Nearly all boxing events are all going to end up in Saudi Arabia because, so you look at Las Vegas now, it's been moved to the, what's it, Jeddah, is it?
Oh, yes.
The capital of Saudi Arabia, Jeddah. Yeah. So they're all moving there because they're paying twice or three times as much. So you'll probably see Tyson Fury versus Joshua. Mm. They'll end up being 45, and they'll probably they'll get 100 million each to fight in Jeddah. Do you mm-hmm. know what I mean? So things are changing, and you look at it and going, well, it's an environmental purpose. That's why we would go from oil to
battery. What cost?
But at what cost? Mm-hmm. You know, until you can say there's a clean way of doing this, and it is clean because of these parameters. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure.
Mm.
But I just mean there's no right or wrong. So the last thing we want to talk about this week is how do you get pumped? How do you pump for work, right?
I was thinking about this today. So
routine.
Routine's a big one.
Mm.
But I love music.
Right.
To get me going.
Now, you're good at you in a quiz. You want you on the music side.
I'm decent with the music.
See, I'm shit at everything. Probably
generally shite knowledge.
Generally shite. Like, probably put me into a real niche, like recruitment.
Construction
recruitment. I'll probably
get... Mining in the Congo.
Yeah, 100%. So, you like music.
I do. So, but it changes. So, I don't have, like, a specific... I like everything.
Mm.
Bruce Springsteen, number one,
mm-hmm.
regardless. But today, I was feeling extra pumped. Well, I wanted to feel extra pumped because...
What'd you listen to?
The Game.
Nice.
I had the
Wasn't
Game.
Expecting that.
I had Dreams on.
Tune.
And I replayed it.
You know what I had on this morning? What? A bit of Nelly Furtado, right? Oh, a bit of Gabrielle, right?
Oh, yeah.
A bit of Texas. Remember them?
Inner Smile.
What a tune.
What a belter.
Inner Smile was on this morning, right? Texas. And then it was like a half an hour trip here. So then what else to have on? Alanis Morissette. Can't be beat.
Yeah.
She had pain.
I wouldn't... Yeah, she suffered.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that they're psych-up songs, but they're definitely...
But you I don't know, like, you get psyched up in a different
you
way.
Do, you do.
A different way for a psych... Compared to The Game. You know, he's talking about Compton in LA.
Yeah, and someone getting slain.
Yeah, someone getting stabbed. Like, you know, Alanis Morissette's got her heart broke.
I know.
You know, get it? But, I mean, but... So music, you start off the day with music. What
music,
else?
Well, that's it. Every single morning on the drive to work, I love that time.
Mm.
30 minutes into work, whatever it is, cough. Always stop off at the same coffee spot. St. Hilliard's Bay Bistro. What a place.
Yep.
Even
sponsor the podcast.
I found out her name, Vicky, I think it is.
Oh,
so
Vicky,
I've been
what's
going
happening?
To this girl, the person who served me for the last 5 months.
Yeah.
And she knows me by my alias, Patrick.
Yep.
Calls me every day and I feel terrible that I don't know her name, but I overheard someone say it. So anyway, coffee from her.
P&V.
Yeah. Coffee from her. Into work and music the whole way. That's bare minimum. That's what I need.
So do you have any other structure during the day? You're like, you have to do this or everything's a mess?
Loosely.
Are you a plan the night before, plan in the morning?
I'm a plan the night before.
Right.
Have whatever I need. Didn't get done, shifts the next day or whatever needs to get done. Mm. I do that before leave work always.
Yeah, right.
But that, whatever time in work, whether it's 7:30 or 8:00 to 10:00 is getting caught up, really. What has happened?
2 hours to get caught up?
Not to get caught up, to get myself into... Okay, emails, and then what you're doing is probably adding more to your list
day
as well.
Mm.
So
you're going for your tasks, basically.
Yeah,
and...
but don't have a rigid, like, 8 to 10 doing this and 10 to 11 doing that. I can't work like that because it's too regimented.
Yeah. So from obviously, because I am quite interested in this, like, because it's always something, like, the power of routine. I, like, read up about this. For this January, right, I was like, right, I'm going to try something different.
Mm.
Right, I'm going to journal every morning. So just literally like do a brain dump every morning.
Yeah.
And so I grab a book and I'm just writing stuff down, right? But then I was like, this is pretty crap. Yeah. I got like day 17 and like, you know, you're expecting a bit of a revelation. Like, I'm getting some stuff from this.
Yeah.
Not really.
No.
Nothing really. It does maybe waken your brain up a bit, you know, like just dump a load of stuff in that's in my mind right onto a page. I was trying to do that, you know, the Huberman lab talks about getting exposure to sunlight in the morning.
Yeah.
So if it's a cloudy day, you'll need 30 minutes. It's obviously like it basically opens up the cortisol levels and all that sort of stuff. So basically it awakens you, and the more sunlight exposure you have in the morning, the better sleep that you'll get and stuff like that.
Yes.
So I was doing that, but then I'm starting to think of cheat codes, right? So I'm like, does he mean go out and look at the sun for 5 minutes? Or if it's a cloudy day, like, or does that mean driving to work? Mm. Do you know what I mean? Are you getting exposure to driving to work? So then my mind's always thinking of a way to cheat it. Yeah, you know what I mean? Quicker. Like, quicker, right? So if I'm sort of thinking about me, I've definitely been waking up way earlier,
yeah,
right? So waking up at like 5:45. Mm. I need coffee every morning, right? I'm probably, that brain dump that I was doing as like a journaling thing is generally something I've probably been doing for 10 years, but that's my to-do list in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, stressing myself out to think about what I need done, write it all out. And then from there, it's getting everything organized and then getting on the phone as soon as you can, start talking to people, you know?
I think that's important too, though, because you set your day off. One thing leads to the next with me. Mm. That's how I find it. Once I get I need momentum and things, whenever there's a bit of a break, like maybe I've had this week, I'm like, I need it. What can I do here to get myself back to that? So I'm better when I'm flat out.
So are you an exercise in the morning guy or in?
No. Well, I don't like it, but I force myself to do it because it gives me more energy for the day.
Do you get more energy from it?
I get more energy from it, but I despise going to see Joe at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And now they've moved a bit further away. It means the alarm's at 5:30.
No, no.
And you're then I'm going.
It's going to be harder when the clocks go back as well because it'll be colder and stuff.
And it's raining. And so I hate it.
I kind of just resign myself to, I hate it, so I'm not doing it. Mm. Like, I'm not doing it in the morning. I'll either do it at lunch or I'll do it after work.
Yeah.
You know? So, because the negative of doing it at lunch is you come back and you're sweaty for half an hour.
No, I can't do it.
No,
I'm sweaty the rest of the day. You know? If I put a shirt back on.
Shirt's the worst.
No way.
Yeah, it's.
I can't. I need to be, once I'm done, that's me for the day.
Done. I know. And there's definitely merit to that as well. Mm-hmm. You need like a t-shirt for after the gym before the shirt.
3 t-shirts.
Yeah, definitely. So the washing's incredible at the weekend. Yeah, but I just can't do it in the morning. I've tried it so many times, and it just, I don't know, just doesn't feel right for me.
I don't get enough out of it, I don't think, because I'm like not all there mentally. You do need to be sort of switched on and focused, I think.
Have you seen Jocko Willink?
No.
So he's, follow him. He put anxiety into you.
Yeah.
Every single day of the year, he wakes up and does a workout at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Christmas Day.
I'll not be following him.
Every single day, 4 a.m., he'll just take a picture of the sweat. Like 4:15.
I could do that.
I
could do that.
Throw a bottle of water on the ground.
Just wake up sweating.
I reckon he's just taking thousands of photos. No, but he's like one of those Marine Corps. So he's got that mad routine. But what we're kind of interested in hearing is like what works for people. Like people out there who are listening, like have you got a really defined routine?
Mm.
Is it nailed? Like what works for you? Working in construction, it's long hours, you know, it wouldn't be unusual to be on site at 6:30, 7 a.m. in the morning. Obviously could be working to, you know, 6 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
How do you get good routine? Mm.
Have you ever felt like somewhat jealous of people? I always used to look at like, you know, boys on site and stuff and like, oh, they're on their feet all day. This is great. Cause then I'm sitting in the office and I'll stand up and I'll pull a hamstring. I'm like, how's that happened?
Well, you know, obviously Darren saying, your friend Darren, he's a project manager. Shout out to Darren, what's happening? He'll love this.
2 weeks in a row, Darren. 2 weeks in a row.
But he was saying he walks 10K before 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like, that's nuts.
I know.
10,000 steps.
10,000 steps before 10 a.m., But he's on site at 7:30 or whatever.
Yes, he's walking.
On that big Intel job in Ireland.
Yeah.
Whatever, 14 billion. So it's an enormous site.
Mm.
So he said he's just on it. He's 25 to 30,000 steps a day.
That's crazy.
And then he goes to the gym.
And then he goes to the gym. You wouldn't be able to keep weight on.
No.
You literally wouldn't be able to keep. No. But what we're thinking about doing is chucking a speed bike in the office.
Yeah, underneath a desk. Standing there, speed bike under it.
A couple of little hamster wheels. So good to wrap this up, mate.
Yeah.
Good to have you on the show again. Anyone that's out there listening to this, give us a shout out. Send it through to your friends. The more, you know, the more ideas, the more topics that we have, the better the content's going to be. But ultimately, the more listeners, you know, we're investing a lot in this. So tell your friends, recommend it, throw it up on LinkedIn, throw it up on Instagram, get people listening to it. More listeners that we get, the more content that we can put out, the better guests that we can bring in here. And I have to bring Pat in every week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
more funny stories we'll tell.
100%. So give us a shout out, guys, but I appreciate you checking in again, and farewell.